Oh Lord, these boys are handsome.
This is the Dynasty Football Life Podcast.
Ka-ka!
I don't know if we still have to do that.
Ka-ka!
Okay. Oh. Welcome to Dynasty Football Life. The show where Jay gets it all wrong and wants everybody to watch what happens in the shadows. What is happening?
What we do in the shadows.
What we do, Dave. In the shadows. Sorry.
What happens in the shadows is...
makes Jay sound a bit
perky. You know.
Yeah.
I don't seem to watch what happens in the shadows.
I'd like to know what happens in the shower.
A lot of masturbation.
In the shower or in the shadows? Or both?
Both.
Yes.
I keep my bathroom dark.
Showering in the shadows. And
I don't want to actually see my reflection in the mirror and get startled that there's a chubby man behind me.
We have, excuse me.
But there's nothing that turns me off more than seeing myself in the act, so, or in any type of. Yeah.
And that's Ty. Excuse me, guys. We got a little bit of a dry throat and absolutely nothing to, this coffee's 3 days. Actually, 1 week old. Oh, maybe last recorded. I don't think I'll touch that. Ties with us, of course, as well.
Dave, maybe Aaron Rodgers could get you some of those dolphin fucking noises.
Maybe. Ty's also, of course, here, as you've heard him pipe up already. He's convinced his keeper team, sorry, his redraft team.
Your voice is killing me right now. Get a drink of water.
I got nothing in here. Give me a second. Cut this part out.
Watching Dave lead this, it's kind of like watching Zach Wilson try to lead the Jets. It's like, you know, it's like somebody's trying to lead something, but all the skill position players, like, you know, I'm Garrett Wilson, Jay's Breece Hall, we're just struggling.
Yeah, we're just choking. Yeah.
We need to get your best, Dave.
I'm about to delete my Twitter here. You know what that means.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Ty.
I'm leaving all this in, by the way.
Okay. Ty's here, and he's convinced his redraft team that it's all going to work out for him, but it's not. It really isn't. He's going to go 0-16 or whatever season is. But here we are once again, fellas. It's whatever night it is when this airs. We have some interesting news. We have some big games. We have a big Thursday night game. Ooh, I feel bad for anybody, Sanjay, that left DeAndre Swift on the old bench. He had an excellent Thursday night game, 175 yards, and he did enter that red zone once. What do you guys think about the backfield now? Hey, is there a little, little changes there? Gainwell comes back. Do you think that coach is a little bit odd though? He might go right back to Gainwell. Who the hell knows? What are your thoughts? Share, please.
I mean, I would hope it changed. I hope that Swiss performance was enough to get him at least the, to be the lead back in that chair. But like you mentioned with Sirianni, you never know. I think since the start of the 2021 season, there's only been four times that a Philly running back's handled 70% of the snaps in a game. And Swift this week was one of them. So if Gainwell comes back and he's healthy, could they turn it back over to Gainwell? Maybe. But like you guys know, I'm a Swift fan. I've been a fan since he was drafted. It's nice to see him actually get the lion's share of the work on a good team with a good O-line. And I'd love to see it keep happening. But I mean, who the hell knows in Philly?
I mean, Swift was drafted as an elite running back. It just took him mm-hmm. 3 years to finally get to that point again on a consistent basis, and it was for one game. So I'm not going to put the cart before the horse here. I think Gainwell's still going to have a bit of a job there. He might have to earn more touches than he would have been gifted had he been healthy for last game, but Swift is definitely, he definitely looked good in that offense, and that O-line did a good job blocking for him too, and anytime a hole was opened up, he seemed to hit it, ran well to the outside. I think it's going to be maybe a 1A, 1B scenario, hopefully, towards the end of the season. But I think Swift might have earned himself a few more touches for sure.
Yeah.
Rashad Penny's just a non-factor now. Like, if you redraft it, I hope you've dropped him. You can. If not, I don't think you have to hold on to anything there. But
yeah,
like Rashad Penny kind of did what Swift did last game. Through his career, he's been that guy that, whenever he's healthy, seems to come up with these really big games every now and then and keeps you in the consciousness. But That penalty he took to negate the catch was but the only contribution he made to that game.
Yes, and contribution is a bit of a loose term in that regard. So I don't think it would be too swift of the coach to put Gainwell in back to where it was. I think they should ride the DeAndre. It's not normal for the Eagles, though, to give a lion's share. It doesn't happen often where they get a lot of carries to one guy. You have, like, what, Sanders in 2021, 81% of the shares in one game, and then Swift did it, like, just yesterday or whenever that game was, Thursday, and then Sanders. So it's only happened a few times. They really like to divvy up that ball, but I really think they should give Swift a chance just to be a three-down back, number one guy, not because I have him, but because he deserves it, I believe.
He's the best running back on that team. They should give him a chance to run with it. I just don't know that they will. But I think he's definitely more talented than Gainwell. And Gainwell's a decent running back. But
yeah, I guess they're.
I think, but the way the offense looks, though, like look at the way the offense has looked the first two games of the year, though, it could be a run heavy team. Like AJ Brown's not getting fed the ball. He's grumpy. He's on the sidelines yelling at Hurts. They have a new OC. Things don't look like they did last year. Hurts, to me, it makes me a little nervous in redraft. I own him in one league. I might be looking to potentially move on from him and maybe get another quarterback back with maybe an upgraded asset in a better running back or a better wide receiver. But you could see a bigger running future for this team that they may not have had last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, the passing offense has looked pretty messy so far. Despite some okay results, it just really hasn't looked that good.
That is true. Jay mentioned about he might make that trade at work today after he asked me if I had seen what was happening in the shadows. We still don't know what's happening in the shadows. There was a poll on Twitter, this is crazy, saying that Devontae Smith should be ranked ahead of AJ Brown. Like, come on. After one big game from Devontae Smith, you're going to erase all of what AJ Brown did last year in one game? Seems a little hasty, in my opinion, but... My knowledge is quite limited. I've made that very clear. Straight up! That's why you guys are here. The experts.
Well, Dave, you do not lack hubris, so.
Who?
You do not lack hubris.
No, I have lots of that. Whatever that is. All right, Eagles. That's it for the Eagles. Unless you guys want to add anything on. I mean.
I'd like to talk about the receivers a bit.
Would you? Because, I mean, Devontae Smith had a goose egg in week one a year ago. Is that correct?
That was 1 year ago, exactly. And, right and since that game, so if you take out his week one performance of last season, Devonta Smith and AJ Brown have actually put up almost the exact same PPR points per game.
So I 16, see where we're going.
Actually, the exact same, 16.4. So I don't think it's actually crazy to think that Devonta Smith and AJ Brown are similar values in Dynasty. Devonta Smith's younger. Personally, I have AJ Brown ahead. I think it is a bit crazy to be moving Devonta Smith that far up just because. But really, are they that far apart? If you look at the Fantasy Pros Dynasty rankings, you have Devonta Smith around 10. AJ Brown's usually up around 4 or 5. So really, however you want to kind of organize that group after Jefferson, Chase, Lamb are definitely up there. Like, I'm fine with it. But to say Devonta Smith, shouldn't be a top 10 Dynasty receiver, that's no, he's definitely in there for me. And I think the gap between the two, it's not huge, but it's definitely still AJ Brown for me.
Yeah, I think if you take the team and the team of players on, like Devonta Smith is only ranked as low as, he's still ranked high, but as low as he is, I think a lot to do with the fact that he's playing on a team that already has, kind of the de facto wide receiver one. If you put him on any other team in the NFL that doesn't have a wide receiver of his talent, he's easily a couple ranks higher. It's whether or not this offense can feed two wide receiver ones. Last year, they kind of could. This year, so far, two games in, really early to pull the panic, to pull the panic alarm. But I don't know. Devonta Smith seems to be the guy that's getting open a little more consistently, and he's getting the ball.
Yeah, he's good at getting open. There's five fantasy players there. We're going to talk about one of them a little bit later, but. You look at KC and compare the two teams when it comes to fantasy. I mean, Eagles, especially if they keep Swift going and moving forward. We don't know. Time will tell. But they have a lot of guys and get you a lot of points. So I'd be happy with having any part of the Eagles offense, except for
absolutely
the one that I own. Cam Akers, what's going on? They can't seem to get along. Him and the Rams, button heads. I don't know what it is. If he's got a bad attitude, he's late, or he's just—I'm not sure. I don't have any inside scoops. Reports indicate that it's related to issues we saw last season between Akers and the Rams, so it's something that's stemming from that. Is there any hope for Akers drafters? Looks like he will likely be out of LA, if not already, by the time this airs. He might already be on a plane. To where?
I think he's like, his value is absolutely destroyed right now. And I think earlier in the season, like, I think the first episode we came back to recording, we talked about how well he finished last year. And I think Cam Akers has talent. And maybe he's just a dick. I don't know.
Maybe.
It's like, I mean, running backs that aren't dicks that are really good can't get contracts. Running backs that are dicks that aren't super good may not have spots on teams anymore. I don't know. Sean McVay did say, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but like, the team's better basically without him. So Kyren Williams for the win there, whoever got him on waivers or
sure, yeah.
in deeper leagues. Rostered him. I mean, if you're smart, you had Akers, you handcuffed him. We kind of giggled about whether or not he was really going to push for. I mean, he was the only guy in the lineup that was going to push Akers for snaps. But now, I mean, RB snaps since Akers didn't play, 74 for Kyren Williams, 3 for Ronnie Rivers. So
Ronnie Rivers.
Kyren's doing it all too. He's catching the ball. He's running the ball. If he started throwing the ball at that point, we know Akua would be catching it, but Akers right now, if you own him, holy fuck! I don't think you dump him. I think you hold on to him and hope he lands somewhere, and maybe you can salvage something out of that.
Yeah, maybe he gets a fresh start. Hey, Ty, whatever happened to Malcolm Brown and that Ricky Henderson guy?
Ricky Henderson, the baseball player.
Ricky Henderson. I think he played baseball in the '80s or in the '90s, right? Oakland A's, I think.
Yeah, Dave. But yeah, what happened to that Henderson and Malcolm Brown? Because those were guys that stood up when Akers wasn't.
I think Daryl Henderson to Malcolm Brown.
Yeah,
it'd be different.
I don't know.
Oh, well, all right then.
I'll have to check with their mothers.
Because this Williams guy came out of nowhere. I luckily was able to grab at least one share, sat on my bench, and just got 25 points. Whatever.
Yep. He sat on my bench this week too in a league, and it's. I think we have to stop that next week. We saw his usage.
Yeah.
But it was fair, though. He was never like a super talented running back. He was kind of slow, kind of smaller size, was supposed to be an okay pass catcher. But the LA offense, it looks like it's back to being good. It's back to being competent. So
it was a tough loss.
Yeah, it was a tough loss, but they hang in with San Fran.
Yeah, exactly.
That was impressive.
The Rams might not be too bad this year.
I don't think so.
And they hung in with San Fran without Cooper Kupp.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, this is a team that's missing who was their number one receiver. Puka Nacua's.
Who needs a company of Nacua?
He had, like, what, 15 targets or something? There were 15 catches, actually, I should say.
15 targets, probably targets. The first quarter.
Like, 20 Jesus. Targets. That's insane.
That is a lot. That's excessive. I think it's a little bit too much. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I think it's maybe just a few.
You want to price check him, Dave? You need a price check on Isle Nacua?
Yeah. You know what? Yeah. You know what I do? So, yeah, 15 for 147. Was his official week 2 statistics. Just absolutely ridiculous when it comes to targets. Now, what group, this is tough, guys. What group are you putting this gentleman in Dynasty? Are you going to put him in with, like, would you take Puka over Elijah Moore? I don't know. Or Mike Williams, one of 47 Williams that play in this league. 5 of them are Mikes. Which Mike is this? Stay tuned. The Chargers?
If we're talking Mike Williams, the Chargers.
Chargers, okay.
Yeah, Mike Williams, the Chargers. Yeah.
Then he's so hard to actually put a value on in Dynasty because you only have the 2-game sample size, but it
just
was
try.
So good.
Just try, okay?
That if I'm trying.
Yes.
Like, if I have Elijah Moore in a Dynasty league and somebody offers me Puka Nacua, do I accept? Yes.
Okay.
Easy.
Okay.
Mike Williams? Yeah. Yeah, I think I accept. Mike Williams.
Hurt, isn't he a lot?
Heard a lot. He's a bit of a boom bust kind of guy. The Chargers, I mean, Keenan Allen's getting a bit older, but they drafted Quentin Johnson, so we'll see how that offense even turns out. Williams' future looks like there, but yeah, I probably trade him for Puka Nacua. I think you have to now, right?
I don't think you have a
choice. I can't. I mean, I'm a big fan of chasing the targets. Like, whoever's getting the targets, especially with a lot of leagues now moving to full PPR, half PPR. Like, you know, I don't remember the last time I played a league that was a standard league without at least a half point per reception. He's going to be a monster. And kudos to Sean McVay and the Rams staff, because like they just keep finding these guys that come kind of come out like not nowhere. Like Cooper Kupp was accomplished in college, but he wasn't he wasn't coming from the SEC or something. He was coming from somewhere else. He was a bit of an older receiver, but both of these guys have come into the league and just torn it apart. Now, do you have the next Cooper Kupp? Do you think that's possible with Puka Nacua? That's really hard to say. Do you have the next Cooper Kupp? Do you think it's possible with the next Puka Nacua? That's a lot of like, I don't know, Slavic sounds. I don't know what it is.
It's tough to say just in general, yeah.
It's tough to say. Or do you have the next Cambrell Tompkins that just kind of lit up the league for a game or two and then faded off into I think he got arrested for something. I had to look him up the other day. I think you probably have the next Cooper Kupp. I really do. And I think right now you got to take chances. And I think you got to bet on this kid. I really do.
Okay. I'll gamble.
If you don't have talent, you get this many targets, you're not receiving them. And Matt Stafford loves to hyper-target. We've seen it before in Detroit. We've seen it in LA. Yeah, I'm taking him over Elijah Moore and Mike Williams pretty easily.
I think the bigger question, Ty, is who do you take in a dynasty? Who would you rather have, Nacua or Marquise Brown?
Nacua.
Oh, okay. I thought you'd at least think about it.
No, at this point, I'll take Puka.
Yeah,
what about Kiki Kuti?
I've got a fun stat here.
Yeah.
Sure.
So,
what is it?
So Puka Nacua, so through two games, 35 targets, 25 receptions, 266 yards. 35 targets is the most by any player through the first two games of all time. Mm-hmm. The 25 receptions and 266 yards is the second most of all time behind only Anquan Boldin.
Oh, good old Anquan. Yeah.
He was good, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was pretty good. But Jay mentioned Kiki Kuti, which is kind of funny because he had 17 receptions in his first two games.
Yeah.
And I think we know how his career turned out. So it's not always a guaranteed sign of greatness.
Yeah, never heard of that guy.
Yeah.
Wait.
He was a PPR guy for a while. We had him in a few leagues and some dynasties.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We were talking about him.
Houston?
Yeah. Houston, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. He was a burner, wasn't he?
Kiki, he was cute. Cutie. He was a cutie pie.
So Puka Nacua and Kiki Kuti kind of have a very similar vibe to the names. Maybe Kiki Kuti in a mask.
I have thought about that. I have.
And he's been training super hard over the last 5 years.
Well, kudos to Kiki and Kutu or
let's find
whoever
out
that is. Nacua.
I would have gotten away with it too if it wasn't for you meddling kids.
let's continue our trend. And whilst in the Texas, in the big town of Houston, which is not the capital, it's Austin.
Waltz, Dave, they square dance into Texas, you idiots.
Austin, Texas is the capital of that state. C.J. Stroud. We all
wait,
know
is Austin the capital? I don't think
yes,
it is.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Oh,
it
wow.
Okay. Yeah. Tallahassee is the capital of Florida. Sacramento, California. Albany, New York. I can go on no more, but that's all I know.
Someone took some U.S. geography in high school, didn't
I? I did. I get lost in the Midwest, though. But this guy did not get lost.
The flyover states?
Yeah, the flyover states. The states where you fly over. This guy was flying over some balls and landing them into the hands of his receivers, mostly Nico Collins, I believe. He went 30 of 47, CJ did. 384 yards, a couple TDs. Looks to be a little bit further ahead of the schedule than most thought, including myself. Is this sustainable? I did quickly pick him up, not to talk about my organization, but Richardson took a knock in the head. I must be prepared. So I picked up Ritter and CJ Stroud, and I'm going to let them fight for my number two spot.
It's going to be a battle there, dude.
It's going to be a wild battle. But yeah, he had 103 decibel 5 passer rating. I don't want to bring up like name drop here, but those are Joe Montana numbers. You know, can we make a comparison between CJ Stroud and Joe Montana?
You just did.
I did.
You
but
did.
I should
it's
have.
There.
I am not qualified to do that.
That is out in the zeitgeist now. It happened.
But he did get ahead of Justin Herbert for most pass completions in the first two career games. That's something to be said there. So there you go. So touch on me, guys. How do you feel about him and somebody named Tank Dell? I think he may have managed to get in the end zone. Discuss, Houston. Go.
Yeah, I'll start. I mean, Stroud, he's looked better than I think most people thought he would, especially on the Texans. We thought it's going to be a long year. I think people thought it'd be a bit more of a run-heavy offense. And so far, they've been throwing the ball a lot, which probably should maintain. They're a bad team. Bad teams tend to have to play from behind. So they get lots of passing opportunities.
Truth.
And so far, he's looked good. He's looked very good. And it's been pretty nice for his receivers. Nico Collins, I think we talked about as a kind of a nice buy low guy in PPR at one point. The buy low window is probably gone for him. Tank Dell, we also talked about before the season. Little fella.
He might get some. Yeah. He still might be a bit of a window there, Ty, you think? Yeah.
Well, I think for Tank Dell, there's a window, especially in redraft, because you can grab him on the waiver wire this week, which we'll touch on, I think, at the end of the episode. We'll give you some waiver wire. Some waiver wire people that we like, and obviously Tank Dell's a big one this week. He's good friends with CJ Stroud. Stroud wanted to have him drafted. We talked about that. He's a little, just a little fella, but he's been doing...
Slip of a thing.
Yeah, a little slip of a thing, but he's been doing, you know, great things since the preseason. So why the hell not? Mm-hmm. And Robert Woods. Jay mentioned Robert Woods in our first episode back as somebody that he was targeting.
Bobby Woods.
I kind of laughed and I wondered if Jay was okay and if we should really be getting back into fantasy football. I brought up doing a hockey podcast instead.
Yeah.
But hell, Robert Woods, 12 for 131 over his first two games. That plays, man, especially in any kind of PPR, that plays.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, I think at the start of the year, I was thinking that Nico Collins and Tank Dell were not going to factor in as much as they have already. I was actually mildly disappointed with Robert Woods' results. Not the way he played, but just that, you know, I thought I was going to be able to add him in a couple leagues, which I did. And really run him out there for the first 6 or 10 games as the number one in Houston.
Okay.
And I thought it was going to be a very run-heavy offense. I think a lot of people did. Robert Woods has been good, but Nico Collins looks like the guy there. He looks like he's going to be maybe a little more boom-bust. Robert Woods is pretty safe. He's a good receiver. He's just old.
He is safe.
But a good route-running receiver for a young quarterback is someone they can trust. He's there to kind of bridge the gap, and that gap I think is going to close a little faster than a lot of people anticipated it would.
Yeah, Nico Collins, he's a guy like with Jaywalk, you got to watch out. Where a guy like Woods, he's looking to his left, looking to his right, he's safe,
waiting for the signal, waiting for the hand.
Absolutely.
Hey, if you're hungry, you can eat Melba toast. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true. Let's move on. I want to do a panic meter, and that's a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being you're pretty panicked, and 10's like, nah, wait, or the other way around. No, I think we should go there.
Ten would be the other way around.
Ten is panicked.
Okay. How panicked are you? 1, be like, that sounds calming.
Okay. Oh yeah. 1 is very calming. 10
when you go to the hospital, they're like, hey, what's your pain level on a scale of 1 to 10? You're like, 1. They're like, okay, you can go home. You're like, but no, my leg's missing.
Yeah. That explains the 8-hour wait.
It's 1, but sir, like, sir, you have a bullet wound. I said 1. I'm fine. Like, I'm good. I'm chilling.
Well, so 10 is panicked, 1 is A-okay.
And I wouldn't be chilling if I had this guy. His name is Alex. His mom calls him Alexander. Get over here. Madison, for the second straight game, he had a mediocre to poor performance. 8 for 28 rushing and 3 for 11 receiving. At least he was targeted, I guess. Did not find the end zone. Lost a fumble. And there was another fumble that didn't even count. That's not fair. I guess that's good, though, right? That didn't count.
If you own him.
Is that a 1 or 10? Anyways.
If you started him, unfortunately, it's very good to not have that gap fumble count.
Yeah. So I watched that game. It was a good game to watch, but he was pretty the running game for Minnesota was pretty ineffective, unfortunately, for Minnesota fans alike. Madison, guys, how on a scale of 1 to 10 are you panicked or panicking or concerned?
I'll say, for me, probably like a 6. Like it's not super high for me, but I also didn't have him, you know, that highly ranked coming into the year. He's another guy we talked about before the season where we thought, you know, he seems to have been regressing the last couple of years. So we weren't expecting great things out of him as a starter.
I don't think he's that good.
But he still hasn't been, and he's not, and he hasn't been that good. One thing he's
not super explosive.
No,
he's really not super explosive. He's not elusive, but the good thing, Dave, is he likes to fumble. Oh, no, wait. No, never mind.
That's bad. -2, I believe, in most fantasy.
Cut that.
Most fantasy formats.
No, he does look, he looks slow out there. Like certain plays, you wonder how he's even the fastest one to find the egg 27 years ago or 26 years ago or whatever. He just looks that slow out there. One thing I will say, though, sluggish indeed. Yeah. There was a big kind of story of a bunch of Vikings fans tweeting him and, you know, calling him all kinds of nasty things, racist names. Aww. And things, and like everybody kind of coming at the guy. If you're the type of person that does that, like, just get fucked. I hope you get Lou Gehrig's disease. Like, you're an awful person.
Ooh.
But yeah, 3.3 yards per carry the first 2 weeks. He's been kind of shit. Ty Chandler.
Yeah, the Vikings line has been fucking garbage, though.
Oh, yeah.
It's absolutely. Not all his fault. Like, exactly.
I'll say Ty Chandler.
The Vikings line's been terrible. Chandler, I'm interrupting. I'm just getting mad about the line.
Go ahead. Sorry. I'll let you go to the line in a second. I'll just say Ty Chandler, I think, you know, he's a decent waiver ad. He might get a chance, but he's not like exceptionally more talented than Madison or anything. He's not one of those backups that eventually has to take the job. He's probably realistically probably less talented. So I don't think he's a huge threat there. And the schedule does get a little bit better. They've got the Chargers, Carolina, Kansas City, Chicago coming up. So those are some kind of get right games if you do have Madison. But sorry, yeah, Jay, go ahead there. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Sorry. No. I cut you off multiple times. I cut you. The O-line's been garbage. Poor Kirk Cousins was running for his life like his parents just caught him banging his cousin. Like, it was bad. Philly's got good defense, though. You're talking about the NFC champions. That wasn't an easy game. But Madison looked bad. Yeah. I'm going 6 or 7 on that one for sure.
So 6.5. We can do decimal points. Jay.
Let's go to 6. Let's go 6. Let's go 6 as well.
I want a decimal point.
Just because the schedule does get easier, but while the schedule gets easier and he hopefully puts up some numbers, will I be looking to get out of him? Absolutely. But I never invested anything in him to begin with. Like, the only league I own him that really matters is one of our dynasty leagues. In that league, I had him as Dalvin Cook's handcuff. That's a pretty good turnaround for a handcuff, really. Like, he filled in whenever Cook was injured, and now he's technically the starting running back on the team. So, but if I can get out of him, I will.
All right. Let's mosey on over to Chicago, Illinois, the Windy City, where Justin Fields, maybe that's the issue. Could be the wind taking the ball in different directions. He went 16 for 29, so that's barely above 50%. 211 yards, which in today's game is a little low. He did find the end zone once in the air, but he also found the other team a couple of times. He ran the ball for 4 carries and 3 yards, which is 0.75 yards a carry. TD.
Beauty.
Dave, I'll cut out the amount of time it took you to compute that in your head to make it sound like you came up with it immediately.
No rushing, like me. Looks slow. I just am slow. He just looks slow. And he's indecisive in the pocket. He's like, do I go here? Do I go there? I don't know what to do with the damn ball.
The problem is he has the puck.
Yeah.
He's indecisive with the puck. Someone's got to give the guy a fucking football.
So, first of all, I want to hear your rating out of 10 on the concerning scale. And then I want to throw a couple trade ideas for you out there to ponder, if you will. So, first, Jay, this go with you. 1 to 10. I know, buddy.
This one's higher for me because you would have had to spend some capital on him. Like, you were drafting him probably especially in a super flex league, you're drafting him in the first round as a rookie.
Whoops.
If you're drafting this year, you spent some capital to get him this year. I'm gonna have to go with an 8 on this one. He doesn't seem
comfortable.
He doesn't want to run right now. I don't know if they're asking him not to run.
Safety first.
He doesn't seem to want to run. Maybe he's got a rock in his shoe and he keeps forgetting to take it out.
I seriously have done that. I've gone like weeks with a rock in his shoe.
Oh, I'm sure you have.
It's actually still in
that
there.
That surprises me not at all. But he has also surprised me quite a bit. I kind of thought we'd see the guy that ended the season last year, and there was so much hype for this guy.
Yeah.
All like everybody so was in on him. Like, it was too much hype with DJ Moore coming over. Ty's got some stats here in the doc. The Bears have had Justin Fields start 27 games so far in the NFL. They're 5-22. He's been sacked 101 times.
That's a lot.
Unless he's got some sort of BDSM fetish where he likes 300-pound people landing on top of him.
Like my Uncle
that's
Ricky.
Too many times.
Yeah.
That's my fetish.
Completion percentage is under 60, 59.8. 26 TDs to 24 INTs. And he's fumbled 31 times. Only lost 8, though. That's not bad. So someone's keeping an eye on him.
That's
Guardian
a
Angel.
Fumble every game. Above more
yeah,
than
I know,
yeah,
that's a lot of fumbles, but only 8 loss though, Dave. I'm still looking at the positive.
Yeah,
here, okay?
You are.
Yeah, and he's only averaged 157 essential yards per game in his career.
This guy's trash. Look at these numbers.
Wait.
Yeah.
Last season, he rushed for over 1,000 yards.
There it is.
Problem is, he's only carried the ball 30 times in the two games this year. So maybe they're trying to get him to work on his decision making.
That's a bad decision.
If not, they need to bring in Drew Brees as the quarterback coach, because that man didn't have any of the talents that Fields had, and he got the ball out of his hand faster than I don't know,
speeding bullets. You can use
speeding bullet. There you go, speeding bullet. So
okay,
that's my diatribe on Justin Fields.
First of all, I think they should bring in Brett Favre as the QB coach, not Brees. But Ty, give me
one. Brett Favre.
Yes, calm down. One out of 10.
Fine.
but I want a decimal point. I'm sorry, it's time, Ty. Give me a decimal point.
So Justin Fields, I mean, he plays in Chicago. Capital is Springfield, Illinois. I can do this Dave.
No, it's not, though.
I've been Googling U.S. capital.
I think you should Google that.
Yeah, I know.
Please do. Yes. My number, yes. 7. I want to say 7, but I'll say 7.2 because it sounds fancier.
Yes, thank you for the decimal point. 7.2.
For all the reasons Jay mentioned, he could still rebound a little bit. This year, if they let him fucking run just for fantasy, that'll help a lot. But like, I really wanted him to work out this year. I bought in. So many people were high on Justin Fields. And after the first 2 weeks, like, I watched the Bears game this week for, quite a few drives, just expecting something to happen. The first drive, he looked pretty good. Passing to DJ Moore, they kind of went up the field. But after that, it was hot garbage.
Chase Claypool got a touchdown.
Also, why was Chase Claypool even playing? He should have been benched. That effort in week one, that was disgusting.
Yeah,
I didn't read the article. I read something that he...
Sorry, I'm getting hot here. Getting hot.
Yeah, you are. I think you're a little hot. It's getting hot in here. It's my fault for asking for a decimal point. It's people responsible. So let's try to cool things down and get her under control here and bring it back to Dallas, which, let me reiterate, is not the capital of Texas. Dallas Dave, Goddard.
I have a question first, though.
Yes. I do have.
Last week, we talked about taking Tua over Fields potentially.
Sorry.
We all agreed that may take Tua over Fields.
My apologies. I did.
How are we feeling about that right now? And would you trade Justin Fields in Dynasty for Anthony Richardson?
Yes.
Yes.
Dave?
Maybe.
Stroud.
CJ, yes.
Stroud.
Stroud, yes. Richardson. Yeah? I don't think.
Yes?
I don't think. Stroud, yes, 100%. Richardson, I don't think he's going to be in the league that long. He's going to get hurt. He's going to go rapping. He's just going to get bored. I have major concerns there. I want to go on record.
He had 18 points in one quarter.
Yeah. I know.
So if he plays, like, he's worth the risk. If he plays, like, he's a fucking cheat code.
Yeah, but he just needs to learn to slide. That's the big issue.
But I think Fields might end up hanging around longer than Richardson. It's just my gut feeling. It's wrong 79% of the time. Purdy's an interesting one. I think I would probably take Purdy for sure.
I have another interesting one for you, Dave. Because Purdy looks legit. That offense
looks
is
Purdy.
Legit.
He looks Purdy. Yeah.
I'm all in on anyone that's coached by Shanahan. But I have a more interesting question here. Let's look at a guy that used to be good. What if I told you that since 2020, as according to Jake Tribby on Twitter. Yeah. Posted this July 31st. So this is not including this season. It's including the seasons for 2020, 2021, and 2022. If I told you that you could have the fourth best 25-plus game quarterbacks, per start, of course, in the NFL, and it would cost you Justin Fields, would you do it?
Say that again. You threw out some numbers, 4 and 25.
So let's just say that there's quarterbacks out there, but let's rank them based on 25-plus point games.
25-plus games, yeah.
So the percentage of the times they have a start where they score 25 or more points. If I told you, you would likely be able to get the number 4 ranked quarterback in the last 3 seasons, you would do it immediately, wouldn't you?
Unless it was Lamar Jackson.
Well, it's not.
Okay.
What if it's Kyler Murray?
I love Kyler. I want to go on record
saying
he's
great. What do you think? What do you think about that statistic? Kyler Murray has had 41 starts in the NFL, 15 of which were for 25-plus points. The only people ranked above him So that's 37%. Are Jalen Hurts at 41.2, Patrick Mahomes at 42.9, and Josh Allen at 49%. I don't know if Arizona, it doesn't look like Arizona is going to want to keep him long term, but the guy is maybe not the quarterback you want if you want to win a championship, but if you want to win a fantasy championship, yeah, he's probably a guy you're going to want to look at. So would you trade Justin Fields for Kyler Murray? Because I think that's one of the more interesting statistics
I've
looked at this
year. Interesting, actually.
We're talking dynasty, obviously.
Yes, sir.
Dynasty, yes. I would probably make that trade.
Maybe
I'm just too low on Justin Fields. He could bounce back next week. He could run for 100 yards and get a touchdown, and all of a sudden he's back. But right now, yes, I think you have to.
Because if you have Kyler Murray, you're looking at every third start, you're going to get 25 or more points from him.
If he's playing. That's if he's playing.
Yeah.
And he will be back.
He's coming back this year. They named him a captain of the team. He's coming back this year.
Oh, yeah. But
they didn't do that just for funsies.
I'm just saying he misses time, it seems, every year with injury.
So does every quarterback for the most part.
I think Justin Fields is built to last, especially if he doesn't run the ball.
But he should run the ball. The only way he's going to stay in the NFL
he ran
is
the ball
if he runs
more than anybody last year.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
he's not that big. Like when you're looking at Anthony Richardson, the guy's fucking massive.
That is an interesting one, Murray for
it's concussions for Fields. Is the problem.
So
yeah, no, I like that.
Just something
I like
to think about
stat.
Your leagues. It's not, I'm not saying you have to trade Justin Fields for him, but go out and look at the Kyler Murray owner that's a little fed up with him not playing and all the outside noise and all that stuff because the shine is off of him. But there's still a reason to believe that he could be a league winner in many fantasy leagues.
Yeah, I think that decision I would have to go down by the lake, by the ocean to make that decision. Like George did.
Really ponder it.
Like when George got married in Seinfeld, you really went down there and thought about it. I think that's a tough one. Good question. And Jay, thanks for the question. That's good. I like it. Keep them coming. Here's a question for you. What's the capital of Texas?
It's not Dallas, Dave.
That's right. Austin. Dallas Goedert. I don't like to, you know, guys, you know me, don't like to talk about my team, but I do have a couple of shares of Dallas Goedert, and I'm a little concerned. I have a couple guys, like maybe I might start Laporta, maybe. I don't know. 5.2 fantasy points over the first two games of the season. Eagles passing. Has at times looked bad. Now Devontae's put up some points. Brown put up some points in week one. I'm just saying Hurts doesn't look like the regular Hurts of last year, and it's starting to hurt, frankly, my fantasy organization. And I don't know what to do with this guy. I'm panicking a little bit. Let me throw you up my score. My score is a one. I'm really concerned. No, wait. My number is a 10. I'm really concerned here. with Dallas, but maybe I'm overreacting. I'm actually not at a 10. I want to say I'm at a 7.652. Ty or Jay, is that too high? Am I a little too concerned, or is Goddard going to bounce back? Are they just going to start targeting more? What do you think? Be honest. I like that Jay, in your face.
Yeah, that's quite the look. I wish we had a YouTube channel at this point.
Yeah, that's right.
Like people are missing out on that. But yeah, for me, probably like a 6. I think they'll find a way to get Goddard back involved. The concern does come into what we talked about earlier with the fact that, you know, the Eagles passing offense hasn't looked great to start the year. But they're a fantastic team. I'm sure it gets figured out to an extent. And you can't panic too much on Goddard just because of the tight end landscape in the NFL right now. It's not great anyway. Like you mentioned, like if you have like Laporta, like would I start Laporta over Goddard next week? No. But if we see another week or two of this from Goddard, you know, it's nice to have Laporta. He looks pretty good. That's a nice backup. Like we're at the point now in the NFL where if you have a tight end that's getting 4 receptions for 50 yards and a couple of touchdowns every month, you're thinking, oh, that's startable. That's good.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. I think Goddard is... he plays a position that kind of sucks sometimes.
Yeah,
because it's not, unless you're a volume receiving tight end, which there's a couple in football at times.
Yeah, you're touchdown dependent.
Very, very touchdown dependent.
Yeah.
And let's look at the quarterback though. The Thursday nighter. Thursday nighter. He had 2 rushing touchdowns that were 1 yard touchdowns. QB sneak. those classic 5 yards move. Out, 7 yards out, that might have been a quick task to the old tight end.
That's true.
So it's very situational. And Jalen Hurts looked great. Jalen Hurts did not look good in the game, but he looked great in the stat line.
Yep.
Because he had those two very easy touchdowns.
You're absolutely right. I don't like touchdown dependency.
So Jalen Hurts, I'm a six, Dave. I'm a six for
you're
Hurts
a six.
Right now. I'm starting to freak out. No, I'm not a six. I'm like a five.
Okay, he's a five.
I'm freaking out a little bit. Just a little bit of freak out.
Moving on over to the Jets running back situation. But first of all, I don't think I can talk about the Jets without bringing up Aaron Rodgers. I am so sorry.
No, we got a weekly check-in. Weekly check-in.
We have to do a weekly check-in. This was on Pat McAfee. I don't know if you caught it. This is a quote from Aaron Rodgers. Hopefully I got it correct. He said, "I'm looking into a number of modalities. There are ideas that some of the noises from the Dolphins when they love make, the frequency of that is actually healing to the body." I agree.
The fuck.
I know, it's messed up. So that's interesting.
Yeah, this is brought to you by the man who ate clay to cure the coronavirus. So now what I'm concerned is Tua is so concussed, he might have heard this and thought he actually wants some lovemaking content from him and Tyreek Hill because they have such a great connection. And I assume Tyreek Hill's small. I assume his cries of passion might be up in the higher register. So we shall see. But I know Roger's a good guy. He will not release the audio if they send it to him.
No.
Really? Funny, but I would like to hear it.
When I heard this quote too, I thought, when noises from dolphins when they love make, not even make love, when they love make.
And yeah, first thing I just thought was like, written wrong.
Yeah. Like, is Tyreek Hill going to be like fucking Waddell or something? Like, what kind of quote is this?
Kind of man, I just think of the King of the Hill when the dolphin kept trying to love make.
Oh, when he's yeah, the dolphin the pinned pool. Hank in the pool, yeah.
Now,
dolphins do like that. To bang they dead that, fish, yeah. Humans, they'll fuck anything.
Yeah,
they are literally the incels of the sea.
Yeah, I read they're the only other species that has sex for pleasure. And I read a story of
bonobos. Dude, bonobos have sex for pleasure all the time.
Of a guy.
At least I've been told.
But there have been humans that have had intimate relationships with dolphins. Look it up. But I'm on a scale of 1 to 10. I'm a 9.3. On Aaron Rodgers.
I'm a 9.3 concerned that you're, if you what? Seem to be okay with humans fucking dolphins.
I never said I was okay with it. I just said it's happening.
Yeah, humans occasionally have relationships with dolphins. At this point, we should cut to our ad break for Dave's Twitter channel, Dave's YouTube,
his X videos. A yay or an A, all right?
Dolphin dives.
I just said I'm not against it. I'm not pro it. Like, come on.
Hey. Yeah. You don't want to yuck anyone's dolphin fucking yums.
But I'm a 9.6 concerned on Rodgers quotes. That's how concerned I am.
That is fair. That
And now we are going to actually talk. We could chalk an outline of how the Jets running back situation is sort of, it changes by the minute. Breece Hall, luckily, was questionable up to close to game time, but he played, unfortunately, for fantasy owners as he roughly, and depending on the format, got 0.9 points. Not so great. So the snaps, they even got Michael Carter in the old mix. Lord love you. So Dalvin Cook touched the ball 16 times. Breece Hall had his hands on it for 15, and Michael Carter had his mitts on it for 15. That seems like just a lot of carries.
Those are just snaps. Yeah.
Oh, those are just snaps. Okay, that's like, wow, that's a heavy running game, but 46 attempts.
46 attempts, and Michael Carter gets 15 even. That's
and only 0.9 points for Hall. And
negative one for Cook, depending on the format. So,
so that's a snap situation there, 16, 15, and 15. I'd like Breece Hall. I don't know. It's bad enough that he's got to share the time with Dalvin Cook, but he seems to be got some toe issues or some finger issues or some sort of issues. What's your level of concern with the Jets backfield?
I'm not concerned.
No? All right.
No, God, no.
Okay.
Because if I owned Breece Hall, I was already fucking concerned when Aaron Rodgers went down.
Yeah.
And if I owned Breece Hall, I know that this year is kind of not the year for him. Next year is probably going to be the year, or maybe closer to the end of the year. You knew he was going to come out of the gate slow. They talked about him being on kind of a pitch count, you know, not necessarily like easing him back in off that ACL tear. He looked great. He looked great in game one against Buffalo. He ripped off a huge run. the eye test, he passes the eye test. The problem is the Jets right now are kind of in flux. This is a team that just lost their, you know, their, well, I mean, they had dreams of Super Bowl.
Yeah, they're mourning.
Their brains.
They are mourning.
They're not in the best place right now. Garrett Wilson lost potentially, you know, he potentially could have been a league winner and a Pro Bowl selection. Dalvin Cook, I'm not worried about. He is what he is. If you didn't sell him last year, you own him and you know what he's going to be moving forward. But Breece Hall, for me, is an awesome buy now candidate. I think after this game and with Aaron Rodgers going down, if you get a non-savvy Breece Hall owner, you can probably get him for, you know, 75 cents in the dollar. So I'm a one on Breece Hall. I'm like a five on Dalvin Cook because, I mean, really at this point in his career, I'm not super concerned.
What about Michael Carter? That's
Michael Carter, I'm surprised he was on the field 15 times.
Yeah,
I don't remember him in the game, and I watched it.
So. Okay. Now, Ty, I know you have a bit of a soft spot for Michael Carter. You've been following him for years.
Oh, yes, big time.
Ty, Breece Hall. You have anything to add that's different from Jay? I know Jay usually hits the nail right on the top, surprisingly. Except for last week. But that's okay.
He hit it well here.
Okay.
If you're talking redrafts, then yes, there's some concern for both of them. There's concern for all Jets.
Mm-hmm.
So redraft, definitely concern for, you know, big time concern for Cook. Breece Hall, like you kind of know what you have with them. You have right now, you have to hope for a big run. You have to hope for a big play, which he's capable of. We saw it in week one.
Mm-hmm.
But he's potentially a second. When Aaron Rodgers was there, I just felt like he could be a second half league winner. And that could still happen. He's that good. Dynasty, go out and buy Breece Hall. If you have Dalvin Cook in Dynasty, you're not doing anything with him. You're not selling him. There's nothing you do. You just kind of hope for the best and hopefully you don't have to play him that often. But in good matchups, he should still be flex, you know, flex worthy.
Mm-hmm. All right, Joe Burrow. I want to talk about him for a brief moment because he finished the second half against the Ravens with 35 yards on 8 completions. Last week in the entire Browns game, he had half as many yards as Nacua put up in one game. That's not exactly accurate, but you get my point. Bengals fans actually booed the team during the first half, so they aren't looking too good. Now, he recovered in the second half, went 27-41. For triple two TDs, did throw one pick, though. Dealt with a bit of a calf injury at the end of the game. So that's something to keep an eye on. Any concern about Joe? And be honest, don't hold back.
Not for me. I'd put a one on the panic meter, I think.
Okay.
The Bengals will get it figured out. Starting 0-2 is not ideal. They did it last year, and it went pretty well for them, but I don't know if that'll happen again.
Okay.
For Burrow... Week one was they dealt with a ton of rain. That was a pretty tough place to play.
Don't make excuses for him, Ty. Don't make excuses.
And this week, I mean, he ended up coming back pretty well in the second half. First half looked disastrous. I think if you have to, you know, in Dynasty, you're not buying Chase cheap. But I think in redraft, I am seeing trades posted where people are getting Jamar Chase for. Very little in redraft right now. If you're in a home league where people aren't, you know, super into the fantasy kind of football stuff, go out and make a trade for Jamar Chase. Throw an offer out, see what you can get him for. It will get better for Cincy. That offense is just too good.
Okay.
Yeah. Joe Burrow is a great real world quarterback. Fantasy wise, he's good. But if I'm looking at that chart I was referencing earlier, only 10 of his 42 starts are for more than 25 plus fantasy points. So I found that incredibly surprising. Okay. Good fantasy quarterback, absolutely. But great real world quarterback that's hampered now with a soft tissue injury. We can see those linger throughout a season. This could be an off year for him. In redraft, I'm incredibly concerned. Probably an 8 on that entire roster at the moment.
Justin Fields
in Dynasty. In Dynasty, I don't care. In Dynasty, that this is a blip on the radar. It could be a first half struggle. But this is a team that, since he's been there, has been one of the most elite teams in the NFL. I'm not super.
Okay. Weird.
I think it's kind of interesting. Jay's concern even in redraft just for this year is at an 8, and mine was at a 1.
That's a concern.
I think give it 5 or 6 weeks and see. It'll probably end up being somewhere in the middle. But it's kind of interesting to see the different perspectives and like that, and it makes sense. Both sides make sense.
Yeah. And
I think in redraft, what concern, like my level of concern is directly tied to what I paid for that particular player. And in Cincinnati, Joe Burrow went, what round do you think he went in as a quarterback in a super flex? Probably fifth round, fourth round.
Super flex, maybe.
Like, depending what,
yeah, maybe like.
It depends on what your QB run went, really.
He'd be right before that, like Trevor Lawrence kind of tier, yeah. Like around Justin Fields, probably.
And yeah. Chase was what, first round pick?
Yes.
Chase was top three in non-redraft. So
that's where my concern is.
Yeah.
But I like Ty's take, though. Go out and buy him if you can, because I don't think it's going to be a season-long issue, but it is very interesting.
Okay. Thanks for the input, fellas. I'll take it with a grain of salt. Just kidding. I give it a 4.25 right in the middle. Jamar Gibbs next on the old Listeroo here. He went 7 for 17, but did lead the organization in 7 receptions. Sorry, yeah, 7 receptions, not 39 yards. I don't know if he led him in yards, but he led him in receptions.
Not yards.
Reynolds is somebody I want to pick up, and I want to think he's good. I think he's good, but they just don't utilize him. No. So I finally just sort of gave up. And he did get, I think, in the end zone, put up some points, but again, that's not going to be a long term thing.
Montgomery, I don't like myself for saying this, but you can pick up Reynolds if you need a wide receiver. Yeah. I hope you don't have to start him, but yes.
Okay. David Montgomery left with an injury. Now, that's not really ideal for Montgomery owners, but it might be ideal for Gibbs. Maybe he'll get the ball a little bit more. So what's your level of concern? That's what we're doing here, fellas, on Jamar Gibbs after a couple of weeks. Now, Jay, give me Dynasty.
Yeah. I'm not worried at all.
Yeah, one there.
Gibbs, if anything, I'm a one.
Okay.
With Gibbs. Right. I think he's shown that he is
explosive.
Probably the future there. He's explosive as fuck. He's going to catch some passes. Everything you want in a three down back. But the Lions are smart. What did you just say? The modern era Lions are kind of smart. Everyone knows I'm a closet Lions fan. They're my second favorite team.
You're not in the closet anymore, buddy. You're out there.
No, I'm not. I am out there, dick out to the wind. Gibbs is the future there. They said they were going to bring him along slowly. They said he's not going to dominate touches in the backfield. And until he does, which I don't know if he ever really will, but he's an incredibly efficient back for the most part, mm-hmm. and he's going to chuck off those explosive runs.
Okay, Breece Hall style.
I'm a little concerned with Montgomery. I mean, he hasn't looked amazing while he was there, and they've definitely shown that they're willing to feed somebody the up the middle runs. And yeah,
cool.
As long as he's healthy, he's a great play there too. But Montgomery, I'm a little more concerned about just because the injuries could pile up for him, and at that point. Are they going to throw Gibbs into the Wolves, or are they going to, give Josh Reynolds some carries?
Or are they going to throw Gibbs to the Lions? Are they going to throw Gibbs to the Lions there, Ty? Do you have concerns? Dave. What? Josh Reynolds? Yeah, what about him?
Well, Josh Reynolds is a receiver. It's a different running back that they have at Reynolds.
Are we talking about Josh Reynolds still?
Too many Reynolds.
Yeah, too many Reynolds
too
there.
Too many Reynolds.
They have a Josh Reynolds that plays wide receiver, but then they have a Reynolds that plays running back.
I hate when they do that. There should be a law. There should be a law.
Interesting fact, Dave. They have three Mike Williams, all receivers.
I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt it. I think they do have a Williams. Don't they have a guy that's suspended or hurt or something?
Yeah, James Williams.
Yeah, there you go. Let's get back on track, guys. Come on here. It's not enough with the Reynolds and the Williams here. We're talking about Jamar Gibbs, eh? Redraft league. I would say he's lost a little bit of value, but are you concerned at all in any aspect of his life, career? Be honest.
For redraft, maybe a three. It hasn't been great for the rushing, but not a ton of opportunities. And week one, at least, he did look pretty explosive. You saw what he could do out there. And if David Montgomery does miss time, it's Craig Reynolds that's likely the guy out there.
Wait, who's Craig Reynolds?
Exactly. Okay. Who the fuck cares? Oh, okay. Who the fuck cares who Craig Reynolds is?
I thought it was a third Reynolds. Also, whoa.
He's Josh Reynolds' cousin.
Also, okay. He probably could make a waiver claim for Craig Reynolds because he probably will get some touches.
Okay. There you go.
But no, Gibbs looks great when he does get the ball. The fact that he was targeted as much as he was, targets are worth a lot more than carries for running backs, especially in a half PBR or PBR league. So I'm not worried about Gibbs, I think. Good. Redraft, another buy low. Dynasty, his value hasn't moved at all. It's two games.
Cool. All right. Now, this is a guy simply named Kyle Pitts. He doesn't beat around the bush. My name's Kyle. I got Pitts. Week one, he went 2 out of 3 for 44 yards. That's not a bad yards per catch at 22. Week two, 2 receptions for 15 yards, significantly lower. That's 7.5 for those mathematicians out there. Is he still up there? Now, was he not number one in Dynasty? Dynasty. I mean, let's be clear about that. Not in redraft. That would be still Kelsey's domain. But is it crazy that it's not Andrew? I don't know. What do you guys think? Are you a little concerned there? Obviously, Ridder was able to get some more yards. London was a much bigger factor this week, so it's not all run, though Bijan did look great out there. But Pitts, I don't know. He's kind of been the Pitts. what do you think?
What are you thinking on this one? I see you rubbing your chin.
That's not a good sign.
Which I assume is...
That's at least a level 5. Thinking. That's at least a 5 concern when you rub the chin. That's been proven in psychology.
Yeah, if we're talking Kyle Pitts concern, season-long redraft, I don't know, like 9?
Okay, that's pretty concerned.
He's not looking good.
That's chin-rubbing concern.
That is chin-rubbingly concerning. And if we're talking the dynasty conversation... Yeah. I understand the appeal to Kyle Pitts. Like, I don't think I need to really bring it up. Like, he's super athletic. He was a very high pick. He was like 8th overall, I think. He's 22 years old.
What was his spark score?
I'm sure it was quite high. Not as high as Mike Gesicki. Probably high. So you never know. So he's clearly a great athlete, but just in that offense, like, just if I was doing a startup draft today in a dynasty league, like, am I really going to take Kyle Pitts ahead of Mark Andrews?
No.
Idiot. Personally, no. T.J. Hawkinson? I don't know if I would. I don't think I would.
I'm taking Jonnu Smith ahead of him. Oh, to be honest,
he snapped him this week, which is terrible too. Like, that's awful.
I mean, Pitts could be just like a distraction, and they just give the ball to Smith because they're covering Pitts because he's a bigger threat.
You know, I will say though, if I have a dynasty team that is just terrible, it's heading to the rebuild. You're trying to restart this thing. Then I'm probably not getting rid of Kyle Pitts. I might even be targeting him. I think, you know, he's so good that he could still be that next big thing. But if you actually want to compete and have fun in fantasy, which I like having fun with my fantasy teams.
You wouldn't know it judging by anyway. Yeah. Go ahead, sir.
Not Kyle Pitts so far.
No.
No, just not.
All right. No, that's a very candid take. And Jay has a question for the question. For somebody. Go ahead, Jason.
Ty, TJ Hawkinson.
Oh, here we go.
Or Kyle Pitts.
Here we go.
In a dynasty startup.
Crazy Jane is...
You're talking 2 rounds apart.
In a startup draft right
before
now.
Before the season. Yeah.
2 rounds apart. That's a good song, actually. Not that you ask me, Jay, but I would say Hawkinson. Hands down. I love his hair. And I want to watch him. I want to watch him. So if I want to watch him, he needs to be on my team. I watch the games that have my players, so it gives me an excuse to watch him in all his glory. But Ty, the question was for you. Sorry, wasn't for me.
My honest answer, and it's not really a good answer, but no.
No,
Just wait. Can I just wait 6 rounds and take Sam Laporta? Or can I just like punt the position? I'll grab Luke Musgrave. Like, that's what my honest answer would be. But if we're talking about the two, like, if I have to take Kyle Pitts a couple of rounds ahead of TJ Hawkinson at this point, I don't think I would. I think I would just wait and take Hawkinson.
Yeah, you would.
Makes more sense, right?
Yeah, I mean, Kyle Pitts is still the athlete he was coming out of college. It's just the situation's not good. The whole Falcons organization seems to be on a run heavy little schedule here. So Tyler Allgeier, great pickup this year. People that sold him for nothing, that sucks because he's actually going to do something. And Bijan Robinson is in 2 games in is looking like everything is advertised and potentially more. Kyle Pitts, Drake London. I mean, even though London hit the score sheet in redraft, if I own Drake London, I'd be selling him right now because he fucking hit the score sheet. And I don't think that offense is going to support two talented, ball hungry boys. Yeah,
that's a good point. I think
Drake London after this week getting a touchdown, I think he's like the epitome for me of in redraft,
sell.
In dynasty, wait a couple weeks till he has another shitty week and then buy because he's still. Like, dude's still, he's still like a year younger than Zay Flowers. Like, he came to the NFL so young, he's still got like plenty of time. So in Dynasty, if you can, go ahead and buy, but in redraft, yeah, sell after a touchdown week. You don't want to deal with that.
All right.
I just get worried about these teams that have these elite talents and don't have the quarterback to back them up.
It's sad. It's
right now, TJ Hawkinson has Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins is not necessarily an elite quarterback, although he's been elite for fantasy this year.
Ever since I drafted him, I believe. I don't want to brag.
But he's in the last year of his deal. Will he re-sign in Minnesota? Probably. I don't know. But Hawkinson, I'm a big fan of chasing the targets, and right now Kyle Pitts isn't getting them, and that's concerning.
I'm a big fan of chasing bicycles. I can sometimes keep up to them. But it looks weird because they're
dolphins.
Okay. That
you gotta cut that out.
No, you gotta keep that. He's the only way he'll learn.
I was thinking, what would be slow on a bike, and I would just be, you know.
So I was thinking, what can Dave say that's worse than the dolphin take? Here we are,
and we're gonna talk about Damon Pierce. For a brief moment, 5.7 and 4.5 fantasy points respectively. Not so respectively, actually. It's a bad team that's passing a lot. Likely going to continue that way. There are some good matchups coming. Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, Atlanta, and the New Orleans Saints. Though the Colts this week are not a tough matchup either. So I want to hear about Damon Pierce. I don't know much about him. There is a Pierce that played basketball years ago for the Celtics.
Paul Pierce, not related.
Okay. But that's a big concern, a little bit concerning, especially with Stroud really dishing out the ball to all of his receivers. I don't know if Pierce is going to be able to stay relevant, but it's obviously pretty early in the season. Is it too early to be concerned, though? Panic meter, Tyler? What is it?
Pierce, panic meter, I'll say 6. Hasn't been great, but as we talked about earlier, I think Houston's going to pass a little bit more than we might have expected. Maybe we should have expected that, though, considering, you know, teams that are down tend to pass more. But Pierce looked pretty good last year. So I can see why teams were in on him. You know, good matchups coming up, Jacksonville, Pittsburgh, Atlanta. So it could turn around pretty quick for him. Let's put it at a 5, actually. 5.3 for Dave. I want to put a...
Thank you. All right. Jason, give me one more decimal point. What do you got?
I'm going to go 5 as well. Super talented running back. Does not really factor into the passing game. If they continue to pass, it's going to be dire here. But I think right now is a good potential buy low candidate.
Okay. Got you. All right. That's enough of that.
Potential.
That potential.
Monitor the situation. Yeah. Developing situation here. Monitor. Continue to monitor. Yeah.
Thanks for the decimal points, Jay, on the even 5. Jahan Dotson. You know how I love Dotson. McLaurin certainly seems to be the WR1 on this offense. There's no real surprise there. Is there any value to a WR2 in this organization with a guy like Jay Howell at the helm and a team that's not really... How do I say that good? I kind of like the Commanders, actually. But, what do you guys think? Dotson, he's got talent. You can't argue that. But is there some concern there in Dynasty? Ty, you got something to say.
I do.
Go.
John Dotson, he's probably the other guy I kind of got sold on over the summer with Justin Fields. We're just like, I need to, I need to get a share. I just want to get him. And I couldn't find anything.
It sounds like Doxton.
Yeah, exactly. It reminded me of Josh Doxton. But no, I couldn't get anything in Dynasty, so I ended up taking him in a redraft league. I think it was the same redraft league that I'm in with you two fellows.
That explains your scores, but yeah.
Yes, and it's been concerning. Sam Howell's been pretty good. Nothing against Howell as a quarterback, but he spreads the ball out.
But as a
like
person.
There is not like a focus here. And if there is, it's McLaurin. And I think with Dotson scoring, I think he had 9 touchdowns last year, which is quite impressive. But I think that made some of us forget how good Terry McLaurin is. I don't know if you guys saw the touchdown McLaurin scored this week. Like, that was fantastic.
That's beautiful.
McLaurin is still quite good. So definitely some concern with Dotson this year. He's too young and too good to really be concerned in Dynasty. But it may not be a great year. But again, 9 touchdowns, which please stat check because I'm just making this up. And I've
Jay here with the stat check. It was actually 7 ties, 7 touchdowns. Still pretty good, but not quite 9.
Had a couple beers while recording, but I think that's what it was.
Sounds good. I buy it.
But so if he gets back onto, you know, onto that track, he actually scores a bit. He hasn't scored in the first 2 weeks. Then, you know, it may not be too bad. But it's getting to the point where, in a redraft league, I don't think I want to start him. I picked up.
I think Tank, you're concerned.
I picked you up picked Tank Dell on a waiver wire, which we'll talk about, you know, in a few minutes. But I think I'm going to start. Oh, I don't even want to say it, but I might have to start. I might have to take Dawson on my lineup.
Aww. Oh, poor type. That's sad, buddy. That's sad. Jay, do you have anything of value to add to that? I doubt it, but
I always have something of value to add. I'm just going to kind of repeat what Ty said and then say something different. No, I'm not super worried about him in Dynasty. I'm more worried about him in Redraft. I think in Redraft, it's going to be tight. He did not really play with Sam Howell last year. There was 2 other quarterbacks that he played with for the most part. This season so far, it's like Ty said, it's been a ball spreading affair. Lots of balls were spread. Dodson for me is a definite target in Dynasty. In a redraft, I'm hopefully looking to sell a name recognition. I'm not super interested in starting him at this point. Who I'm more concerned about, though,
Ooh.
Outside of Ron Rivera, Ooh. Of course. Riverboat Ron's fucking kills me. Mm-hmm. But it's Antonio Gibson. I got a lot of concern there. Why did they draft this guy if they're not going to fucking throw the ball to him?
Shit, I skipped over him. He was a little bit. I'm sorry. Yes.
He wasn't in there. He wasn't in the dog.
No, I had him. He's there.
Oh, he's here. He's here.
Oh, he did. Okay. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, he rushed 2 for 9 yards, 3 receptions for 44 yards. That's special. But Brian Robinson show, he sat on my bench and grabbed 27 points. Lord love him.
That's my boy.
Yeah, Robinson looked good this week, and that's not great for Antonio Gibson.
It is not. And Jay loves Antonio.
I'm an Antonio Gibson guy, too. I was a big fan of him as a rookie.
Oh, you were.
And I've been kind of hoping to see the best out of him. I really thought this year was a chance because Brian Robinson, I think, is a good running back, but not necessarily one of those insurmountable type of talents. But all Gibson had to do was catch some passes, do the best he could with his rushing, and he'd be fine, but then not fumble. He always fumbles. Week 1, he fumbled.
Can't stop fumbling.
That's so now he's trying to work his way back up again. 2 rushes for 9 yards. Like, he only got 2 carries, which is fair. He keeps fumbling. So he's...
Put you in the doghouse.
Yeah, he's the doghouse, and for a reason, but... Yeah. And we'll see. It's a long season, but Robinson looked so good this week. I don't see a reason for them to try to get Gibson back in if they don't trust him with the ball.
So redraft.
And Robinson can catch, too. Robinson is a decent...
He's probably the best player in the NFL.
Pass-catching back.
Really. So. But Jay Gibson on redraft, tell me you got to be over an 8 for concerned.
Oh, redraft, I'm very concerned, yeah. Dave. I am probably a 9 in concern for redraft.
Redraft, he's almost droppable. Like you,
yeah.
Before last week, he probably was. And 44 yards receiving was kind of...
That takes a lot for you to say, Ty, because I know you were big on him. I got you 2 mixed up there, oddly enough. But you were really big on Gibson, and for you to
we were both big on him. We were both
but for you
on
to
him, you didn't get anything.
That's true. For you to come on the show today and say, yeah, "I think he's droppable in redraft," that takes a lot of courage, and I respect the hell out of it.
Thank you. It was difficult for me.
I know it was. All right. Let's have a little bit of fun here. Let's have a little segment. You've all heard of it. It's called Kill, Bang, Marry. Now, this is the fantasy edition. Now, kill, if you can kind of figure it out on your own, not kill, literally, it would be to drop the player. Bang would, of course, be to keep for redraft if you can't figure that out. And marry, that sounds like a long-term thing, would be for dynasty, obviously. So that's interesting. I like this idea. Hope you guys got some names prepared. I didn't quite understand it. Kill. I chose Jason Peters simply because he's the oldest man in the NFL. I figure it's time. That's it for him.
Just put him in his misery, I guess.
He's an offensive lineman. I would bang a lot of the players.
I thought you would have picked Aaron Rodgers for bang because the Dolphins would be involved.
Yeah. Touche. Much like the Dolphins. Okay. Who wants to go first? Who's ready?
Well, you read the names.
I'm ready for this one.
We'll oh, ready. Oh, yeah. The names are provided me here in the color green, of course. which is my favorite color. Thank you, Ty. All right, here we go. First one. Swift, White, I believe that to be Rashad, not Rondell, and Madison.
All right, so I'm gonna,
Rondell White is, but go ahead. He's nobody, but it's made up.
All right, so all right, go ahead.
Who are you going to kill?
I'm going to kill Madison.
Yeah, you would.
I'm going to marry Swift. I'm going to bang White.
All right. Yeah. Okay. I think Madison, to me anyways, is the obvious one. All right. Good. All right. Next set. Moving to some receivers here. We have McLaurin, Ridley, and the aforementioned Dotson.
I don't like this one.
It's a tough decision. I'm sorry, Jay.
Can I move to Utah and marry a couple of them?
Marry your cousins in Shelbyville.
In Shelbyville, well, we marry our cousins.
Because it's so attractive.
I am going to kill McLaurin. I'm going to bang Calvin Ridley.
You would.
And I'm going to marry Dotson. I didn't want to kill McLaurin. I want to marry McLaurin, yeah, too.
Well, I'm sorry, buddy. Not in this state. Not in this province, anyways. Tyler, do you agree, or is there a slight alteration to yours?
No, I got to alter it. I can't kill McLaurin. I think
you can't. You pussy.
I think I'm you're banging a pussy. McLaurin. I'm gonna bang
you're
McLaurin.
Banging McLaurin. You're gonna bang McLaurin. Okay.
Yep. And then I'm I'm gonna kill Ridley, and I'm gonna marry Dotson.
All right. So you're both marrying Dotson.
Ty, Ridley's gone through a lot. He's been gone for 2 years, and you're gonna kill him right when he comes back.
Yeah, he kind of pissed me off last week. I needed a big week out of Trevor Lawrence, and Lawrence kept throwing it at the end zone. It wasn't his fault, but I'm a little mad at him.
That's fair.
That's the old third safety there, the white line at the back of the end zone. I don't think Lawrence noticed he was there.
Poor Calvin Ridley, too. He ran right into the uprights on one play, and he kept it just like,
yeah. What is this, the CFL, where they have the uprights at the front of the end zone?
At the front of the end zone.
Which makes no sense at all. They should just get rid of them. Larry David said you should just get rid of them altogether and just get rid of kicking. He has a point.
He's not wrong.
He's not wrong. All right, next one. This is the toughest one, in my opinion. Brock Purdy, Jordan Love, Maccabee Jones.
Maccabee?
That's his full name. Look it up. Fucking dare you.
Oh, no, I believe you, man. I questioned you earlier on the capital of Texas, and I looked quite a fool.
Yeah, you look pretty stupid now, don't you, Ty?
Yeah.
Yeah, don't look that up. Purdy, Love, and Jones.
It's not Maccabee.
I know. So, the question is, what are you going to do with Jones? What are you going to do with Love? What are you going to do with Purdy? Jason, it's your turn to go first.
All right. Well, I'm going to bang good old Brock Thighs of Thunder Purdy.
Well, you're going to have to put that way. Yeah.
This is a little shocking, but I am going to marry Jordan Love.
Yes.
I am marrying for love here, Dave.
Shut up.
And Mac Jones, I'm going to kill that motherfucker.
Yeah. Jesus. Okay, that's good. I like Jay. I would agree. No one asked me, but if you were to ask me, I would agree. But I am interested to see if Ty's got something a little bit different. Does he, Ty?
No. Yeah, I think. Yeah, I got to marry Jordan Love. I think he's got the highest potential for fantasy anyway. Brock Purdy.
Brock Purdy's got some sexy receivers.
He does, but he doesn't put up huge fantasy numbers. The game just
exactly.
Like in San Fran, it just doesn't work that way. But
he is a good quarterback.
Oh yeah, sure.
Oh, of course. No one's arguing.
Like if I was arguing that, if I was playing a game to win a championship, it'd be fucking Brock Purdy all the way.
But you're not. Yeah. So
yeah. So yeah, I'm gonna marry Jordan Love. I'm going to kill McAfee Jones. Yeah, and I'll bang Purdy.
Okay, you will.
He's got a Purdy mouth too. I like that.
All right, that's sick. You're distraught. And I'm the problem with the Dolphins. Okay, whatever. Next up, DJ.
Got a Purdy blowhole.
DJ Moore, humpback, Wales. DJ Moore, Michael Pittman, Jerry Jeudy.
Jeudy.
For old time's sake.
It's been like fucking 4 years.
That's okay. These guys, again, these guys are similar in like age, so and value. So this is what makes it so difficult.
That's what I was going for.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Ty. You have succeeded.
I went first last time. I'm glad Ty's going first.
Yeah, this one's tough.
Jesus. Yes, it is.
This is the hardest one.
Said it'd be easy, buddy. Sorry.
All right. Lordy. Okay. So I think I'm going to marry Jerry Judy.
Gay.
I'm going to... Oh, Lord. I'm going to bang Michael Pitton. No.
Also gay. That's even gayer, man.
I guess I'll bang Pittman and I'll kill DJ. No, I'm going to bang DJ Moore. I'm going to kill Pittman.
Yeah.
That's racist.
Done.
That's illegal. All right. Sorry, I wasn't listening when you picked.
I said either.
But should you're we do right. it again? Or?
No, no, no. It's I'll listen to the episode. I'll go. Jason?
I gotta kill DJ Moore. Just put him out of his misery in that fucking Chicago defense or offense. I'm gonna marry Jerry Judy and I'm gonna bang Michael Pittman. I don't really want to bang Michael Pittman, but it's kind of the end of the night. The house lights are about to go up. You know, I gotta get some strange. So I'm going after.
There Pittman. You go. All for valid reasons, Jay. Good call. Last and probably least, because Mike Williams is in this group. Mike Evans, Mike Williams. And Tyler Lockett, as it's French.
I think it's my turn to go first
it is?
Here.
Please.
All right. So I am going to, shockingly, with the vaunted quarterback in Tampa Bay, I'm going to go with Mike Evans. I'm going to bang the shit out of him.
Mm, you go, girl.
No, sorry. Wait. No, I'm going to bang Tyler Lockett. What am I talking about? I'm banging Tyler Lockett.
Make up your
Lockett.
Mind who you're going to bang, all right?
He's quick and he's light and he's small. I'm going to keep Mike Evans for Dynasty. I think he's going to end up with a contender next year. It could be fun. And Mike Williams, I'm going to kill just because.
There's too many of them.
I had to pick one to kill. Too many. And there's enough Mike Williams. Maybe no one notices.
That is true. Good point. Tyler, what do you have?
I think I'm pretty on line with Jay. With Jay, because Mike Evans, he's been awesome so far this year in Tampa. But they didn't offer a contract, so we'll have to see what happens. But. Just to mix it up, I think, because Evans has been so good this year, I'll bang Mike Evans. So I want him for this year. We don't know what's going to happen next year.
Okay.
And then I'm going to kill Tyler Lockett. He's getting older.
I think it's for the
JSN. Yeah. He's coming in. We'll see what happens in Seattle. And I guess I'm marrying Mike Williams. I don't love this, but I'm going to go with it.
Sometimes. We differed on that one a little bit, but I like it.
A little bit. Okay. Awesome. Thanks, guys, for your participation in this matter. You guys made some interesting choices. Last, to finish off our episode, just some quick, very quick waiver wire ads for this coming week. Who are you adding / bidding on? Tyler, may I go to you first? Are you ready?
Yes, you may. We're recording this on Monday night. So the Correct. Cleveland game is playing. It looks like Chubb got injured. So Jerome Ford is there. We haven't really had a chance to check. We're recording as we're, you know, as we speak, we're
his
recording
leg,
this episode. The game is playing.
Pieces,
so it doesn't look good.
It's going
to
happen.
Yeah. So Jerome Ford, obviously the running back, and Cleveland's the way to go. A couple of other quick names to look at. Ty Chandler, you don't really have to add. But if you have a roster spot, he's there. The Madison stuff we've talked about, but I wouldn't be dropping anybody that you like for him. Zach Moss had a pretty good week in Indy.
He did.
So if he's still there, I'd think about that. Roshan, we've talked about. I think he could take over for Khalil Herbert. My big wide receiver ad this week, I think he was only about 5% owned in Yahoo, where I had him recently, Tank Dell.
Ah, yep. Yes, there. You were going to mention his name, and here it is. The great Tank Dell. No relation to Dell. Okay.
Or Tank.
Jason.
Yeah, so since Ty already named a couple guys, a lot of them I agree with, I'm going to go by position. So I'm going to just get one guy from every position. Right now, Kyler Murray, like I was talking about earlier, in redraft is not on very many rosters.
Okay,
check your league if he is. If he comes back from injury.
He's not available in our league. He's already been taken by somebody in our league. next.
Yeah, but ours is a super flex league, though. A lot of redraft leagues aren't super flex. So there's a chance I also have him in that league.
I know,
so
that's what I was alluding to, actually.
If he is taken, and, you know, like, there's some guys out there, like Baker Mayfield's still out there. That offense looks pretty good. Sam Howell's still out there. But I'm going for Kyler Murray. As far as running backs go, I still think, like, Roshon Johnson's still under 50% roster. I think by the end of the year, he's the number one running back on that team. And then as far as wide receivers, well, I mean, Zach Moss too. Check your leagues, because Zach Moss obviously is going to get the workload. As far as wide receivers go, an interesting one is Jaden Reed. He's looked pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Got the end zone,
pretty good in Green Bay.
Back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, he got in the end zone. If not, I mean, you also have, what's his name? The other receiver there.
Dobbs. Romeo Watson.
Dobbs, yeah, Romeo Dobbs.
Yeah, he only got
Romeo
4 points
Dobbs is around
this
50%
week.
As well.
A little disappointing
this
Watson
week, might
be
back this week,
back
so we'll see. But
yeah,
I do like Reed.
One of those two guys, though, is gonna end up being a target as well, though. So if you'd have a chance there.
Jones out.
As far as tight ends go, well, fuck tight ends. Tight ends suck.
Yes.
But Sam LaPorta is not owned in every league, so maybe go look to target him. He seemed to be pretty intriguing thus far. And then Zach Ertz, I mean, the targets don't lie. He's going to continue to get targets throughout the season, so you never know.
Zach Ertz, I'm glad you brought him up. It's insane how many targets he's gotten in Arizona.
He's like 10% owned. Musgrave's a good one, too, but I can't own everybody in Green Bay again.
You really can't.
Yeah. Zach Ertz is getting targets, and he's going to continue to get targets. He's 32, but it's a fucking ACL. Or it's a, I mean, it came off an ACL, Derek. I was just reading. But in redraft, who cares how old he is? I'll take a 38-year-old in redraft. You only need him for a couple games.
Yeah, you're such a user, Jay.
Yeah, 18 targets over through two games. Targets don't lie.
Okay. Guys, just I'm going to end this episode with one name. Dynasty Deep. Pick him up. He's available in 100%. Isaiah Spiller. Yeah, that's right. Isaiah Spiller.
I actually don't mind that because, I mean, I'm sure Eckler will be back, but... Man, Josh Kelly, great.
Uh-huh. This is my...
Kind of shit the bed with the opportunity he was given.
This is my Slayton of the year, is Isaiah Spiller. That's it. I do want to give a shout-out to Sanjay. He's a friend of ours. He called out on Pickens at work tonight. He came in at 23 points. He did, unfortunately, bench Swift in favor of Shaheed. Who didn't do terrible. He put up 8 points, but unfortunately lost because Swift was on the bench. But he said Pickens is going to have a great night tonight, and he did. So congratulations to that. It's always nice to see the Pittsburgh Steelers flourish. Not really at all. Anyways, that's all I got to say, guys. Thanks for tuning in.
I'd like to shout out all the Dolphins there that have been sexually assaulted by Dave. There's a class action lawsuit being brought up. Please call 1-800 to file your claim.
This will be my final episode. but I had a lot of pleasure. All right, guys. Thanks. I'm out. Have a good night. Good luck next week.
Not sure you should use the word pleasure as you're signing up, but no.
Thanks for picking up on that, Ty. you're smart.
This is the Dynasty Football Live Podcast.